Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
Hey, Roland. Hey, it's a guy in Denver. I just heard your teaching on resentment, and it was just fascinating. You described myself to an absolute T about resentment in my marriage. And I was just curious if a man was able to self-diagnose with all that resentment, how you'd get rid of it. Anyway, thank you. Thank you for doing this program.
Thank you so much. This is Ophelia in Crestline. I doubt this will be airtime worthy, but I want to ask you to pray for me, brother. I want to ask you to pray for God's own peace in Jesus Christ for my heart and mind. And God bless you, brother. Thank you.
Hey, Roland, it's Todd in Denver again. Hey, I called you mid-program. I just finished listening to the program, and I asked you how to deal with the resentment, and I should have waited till the end of the program to call you, but I listened all the way to the end, and I have a plan. Thank you.
Ophelia, Crestline, thank you so much, Roland, for listening. You know, sometimes nobody will, and I had dropped you that message yesterday. By this morning, my joy in the Lord has fully restored my peace inside of me. And I just want to thank you for your ministry because, you know, you call people to have a lip of sense. You know, I mean, a modicum of good sense is so very precious. And I just want to thank you for having listened because sometimes nobody will. And that's why I left that message for you. So that I could feel that somebody out there, another human being, would listen. God bless you, Roland. And thank you for encouraging all of us to trust ourselves, how God will speak to us on the inside. Bless you, Roland. God bless you.
The theme of today's program is heart-to-heart communication. And I think it could be helpful to you. You see, the problem is, look, if we react to what is on the outside, let's say you react to someone, soon they start to get in your head. Let's say you resent somebody. Then before long, they're in your head and you're fantasizing with their image in your head and you're imagining you're telling them off or something. But more than that happens, when you react to the outside. You're responding to, instead of responding to what you know in your heart, instead of holding fast to virtue, to patience, to love, to goodwill, to waiting upon God, when you react to the outside, and instead of looking to internal promptings in the form of intuition, wordless. It's like a wordless hunch, a wordless knowing, a quiet knowing. It's like an intuition, a gut level knowing. When you respond to that on the inside, then you are moving intuitively as God wanted you to, taking gentle prompts from within, always looking to what is right, always watching for the rightness of things, always willing to overlook others' imperfections. And so you hold fast. And holding fast, you don't grow as an animal, as a beast, as a monster, as someone who's totally externally directed. Instead, you grow from within, as the good Lord had intended, to become what he had in mind for you. And so that is the way to be. But what do? Instead, you look to the outside, and because that's where your motivation came from. See, if you react and you respond and you get angry and you want to do something and you want to prove something and you want to get over on somebody and you want to prove to them and you want to make something of yourself, and you react to their pressures and their teases and their challenges and their goals and their insinuations and their suggestions, then you're taking in their mind also. See? And then their kind of thinking becomes your kind of thinking, and their kind of personality becomes your kind of personality. And that's how we all change. And one day you look at yourself in the mirror, you hardly even recognize yourself anymore. You become someone else. You become your mother. You become like somebody you hated. You become like your boss. Or you become like your some wicked guru who's leading you astray. All right. So you have to return to the good Lord, to the simple life. See? So getting better is largely a matter of not doing things, but of letting go. Letting go of your grudges, letting go of your, of all of these things, and just becoming a simple person and waiting upon God and doing what's at hand and relaxing a little bit and de-stressing, and God will then lead you slowly but surely. Yeah, it takes time. It takes lots of time, but he'll see that you have the time. He will see, he will make it happen that you will have the time. So here we go. That's what today's program is going to be about. We're going to continue talking about heart-to-heart communication. And I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is A Quiet Moment with God. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. Today, I'm stopping by to talk about prayer. It's a topic that I've begun to address lately, and I never did before, but now I am. I guess as I get older, I can see that prayer is a very real thing. We talk about prayer, and we have various prayers written out for us. But prayer is actually an intimate communication. Look, I'll give you an analogy. Zig Ziglar, remember he was the guy who helped people to become better salespeople? He was very popular. He said, for children, love is spelled T-I-M-E. Okay, so we know that. So people heard that and they said, oh yeah, that's right. So then now we have, what do they call it, quality time? Well, yeah, but something can still be missing. See, how can it be missing? Let's talk about that for just a moment. Let's pretend that you're a child. And you remember what it was like to be a child. Maybe you don't. It's amazing how adults forget what it's like to be a child. And then they pressure their kids and yell at them and give them a hard time. And then they feel guilty. And then they worry. And then they're extra nice to try to make up. And some parents just totally clam up and never say anything and let the kids do everything because they're afraid of getting angry. Because then they do remember what it was like. They know what it's like to have somebody yell at you. Because it was done to them, but then why did they do it to their kids? You see what I mean? But I don't want to talk about that now. What I want to talk about, just pretend you're a kid. All right, and there's your parent. And your parent said, hey, let's go do this and let's go do that. Well, that's good. It's good if you guys do things. But it can be ruined somewhat or a lot if it's contrived. In other words, if you can see that the parent is doing it because they feel obligated to do it, or they're doing it because they're worried about you, or they're doing it because they have an agenda. They want to very cleverly take you out fishing, or they want to take you to the mall or take you out to eat or something or try to figure out what's going on. Or because they want to tell you about how they're thinking about getting a divorce to see how you feel about it. So they have some agenda. You see what I mean? Well, it kind of ruins it. Or the other thing is they say, okay, let's go do this or that. And that's good. Don't get me wrong. That's good. But then while you're doing this or that, the parent is constantly on the phone and texting, and their mind is elsewhere. Their mind is elsewhere. So I want you to just understand that, which you can if you remember what it was like to be a kid.
Hi. You're listening to Shedding Shackles, a breath of fresh air on the radio. Call Roland now at 510-455-8851. That's 510-455-8851.
So what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, so I'm giving you an analogy. So now let's talk about prayer. Prayer is an intimate communication, and it can't be a contrived. Well, yeah, you can contrive it, but then it's probably ineffective. In other words, you can do it because you feel obligated to do it, because you're supposed to do it, because you think you should do it. You can do it using somebody else's words that they made up. Although the Lord's Prayer, I mean, that's kind of special because Christ told us to pray like that. But in general, when we pray, we sometimes use some formula type thing, or we do it because we have to, or we do it because there's nowhere else to do. Well, that's okay also. I mean, that's also okay. Remember the guy that was a couple of guys, and they were having all kinds of problems. And finally, one guy said, well, there's only one thing left to do, and that's pray. Well, that's what they should have done first. That should have been the first thing, not as a last resort. You see what I mean? But what I'm getting at is that it shouldn't be contrived, and you need to be totally there and not with your mind elsewhere. See, you can mumble words, but your mind is elsewhere. You can go through the motions, but your mind is elsewhere. You see what I mean? So when you pray, see, it can't be where you're holding something back, you know, and you can't have a secret agenda. It's just heart to heart, intimate communication. And that really, really, that should be the easiest thing in the world, shouldn't it? It should be the easiest thing to just open up your heart and raise your eyes and cry out. I don't mean crying tears with tears coming down your cheeks. I mean crying out to God. So prayer is a yearning. It's a seeking. It's a searching. It's an asking. It's a wondering. It's a petition. It's quietly. It's heart to heart. And the example I always give, like from the old Star Trek television show, which was actually quite good. Do people still watch Star Trek? The original one, you know, there are different versions. They're all good. But the original one, you know, with Kirk and Scotty and Spock, remember? But you remember Spock had something, and I don't know what it's called, but I think it was called something like a Vulcan mind meld or something like that, where he could put his hands on somebody. And then their minds would join. And he knew what the other person was thinking, and the other person would know what he's thinking just by touching the other person. Remember? Well, it's actually something like that. It's wordless. See, the original communication is wordless. It's a wordless communication. You just know. You just know. Look, we all know what a hunch is. We all know, and people who are in law enforcement or people who have been in the military in dangerous situations, they know where they have an intuition. They have a sixth sense. Some people have that. We actually all have it. But you just know. So anyway, it's like that. So how do you have wordless communication with God? Well, I'll be right back after this little announcement.
Hi, my name is Andrew. You're listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Roland brings old-time religion to life as he talks about repentance and turning back to God. Roland makes a new program every week just for the radio listener. So be sure to take advantage of this special resource. Roland wants you to know that Shedding Shackles is easy to find at your favorite podcast place. Thanks and blessings.
Call Roland now at 510-455-8851. That's 510-455-8851.
How do you have wordless communication with God? So let's go back to our analogy with kids. Let's say you want to have heart-to-heart communication with your child. So how do you not have it? Well, you're not going to have it if you have an agenda. You're not going to have it if your mind is elsewhere. You're not going to have it if you're angry or upset or bitter, or you resent your husband, or you're irritated. You're not going to have it. You're not going to have it if you're lost in your thinking, worrying about something. So those are the ways that interfere. So anger interferes, resentment interferes, emotion interferes, being lost in thought interferes, worrying interferes, having a secret agenda interferes, trying to manipulate interferes. So now apply that same to prayer. All right. So you just sit quietly. You can't be texting. You can't be lost in worry. Worry is the thing you want to get rid of. All right. Because you have worries. But if you're lost in the worry, you can't really pray very well. Well, actually, there is a way of doing it, but I'll tell you about that in just a few minutes. So you better stay tuned if you want to hear how to do it. But you need to be there, not lost in daydreaming, not planning, not scheming. See? And the problem is, too, if you make it wordy, I'm not saying that a wordy prayer is wrong. No. Look, you do the best you can. If that's all you can do is just say stuff, then okay. But it can't be a substitute for, see what I mean? It can't be a substitute for that wordless heart-to-heart communication. And the trouble is the words can get in the way. That's what I said on my last program, the words can get in the way. All right, so how many times have you been with somebody? And it's one of these delicate moments. And there's a little bit of silence. But then you open your mouth and you say something and it's all wrong. You'd have been better off just to not say anything. So you see how that is. So intimate communication with God is quiet. You can just sit down. Just go and sit down somewhere. All right. Let's say that you're not driving, you're not working, you're not doing anything. You have a moment of leisure where you're just quietly at home in your bedroom or sitting out on the porch, or you're sitting on a nice park bench, or you're sitting on the grass, or you're in your living room sitting on the couch. Then you can just sit there and you can actually, if you're just as I described, you know, sitting in your living room or sitting in your bedroom and there's nothing you have to do, you're not at work, you're not driving, you're not doing anything, you're just having a moment of relaxation, then you could sit there and you can close your eyes. And when you close your eyes, look at the inside of your eyelids. Look at the inside of your eyelids and what will you see? You will see little pixels of light, little patterns of light, little sparkles of light. And now if you're doing something, if you're at work or something, and just remember what I said, that when you get home, you can try it. You could go in the bathroom and close the toilet lid and get a towel, fold the towel up real nicely to make a little pad for yourself and put the bath towel on top of the toilet seat lid and then just sit there and close your eyes, and then you'll see little pixels of light on the inside of your eyelids. Or you can do it when you're lying in bed. When you go to bed at night, lay down in your bed and turn the light off. It's nice and quiet and dark. And then you can close your eyes and you'll see little pixels of light on the inside of your eyelids. Well, just watch that light. That's all. Just look at it. See it. Observe it. Be conscious of that light. And immediately you're outside of thought. See? You're no longer lost down there in worrying, fretting, reliving the day's activities, thinking about what you did, what they said, what you could have done, reliving moments of glory or moments of failure and trying to change them and make them come out more the way you liked them to. And only if you're not driving and not working and not doing anything, you can close your eyes and look at the inside of your eyelids. Now you're outside of thought. You're no longer lost in thought. And yeah, thoughts might still rise up, but you just notice them and you don't get lost in them. See?
Is stress interfering with your prayer life? Are you interested in making a fresh start? You've come to the right place. Why not try Roland's free meditation? Give it a try today at sheddingshackles.com. Roland says that with a sincere attitude, the little meditation may be all you need to get started. What have you got to lose? You've tried everything else. Now try the real deal. The meditation is totally free at sheddingshackles.com. Get started today.
And now the other thing is you have no agenda other than something like, let me see, what could it be? You want to do what you know is right in your heart. And a lot of times in life, you don't. You do the wrong thing. You say the wrong thing. You get angry. And you just don't want to get angry at people anymore. You want to do the right thing, but you don't know what the right thing is. So that's kind of the only thing in your mind. You just want to do what's right. Okay? And so you just sit quietly. All right? And that is very close. See? That puts you in the state of being where you can cry out to God with your heart. You see what I mean? And you just sit quietly. Instead of your will, His will. Instead of your plans, you're quietly waiting for His plans. Instead of your agenda, you have no agenda. All right? Instead of trying to make yourself look good, you just sit there. Instead of putting on an act, you just sit quietly. And you're not doing it because you want to feel better, because you want to de-stress yourself, because you want to look better, because you want to smooth the wrinkles in your face, because you want to get rid of your headache, because you want to be less nervous. You're just sitting there quietly because you don't even know exactly why. You just want to sit there quietly. And maybe, somehow, God will answer. You don't even know what you need. See, He knows what you need. You don't even know what you need. You don't even know what to ask for. Yeah, you ask for stuff, but it's never quite right. So you just sit there. All right. Well, I think I've kind of given you a clue about prayer, what it is and what it isn't. And also along the way, I talked about being there for your kids, so that was kind of a bonus. I used it as an analogy, but it's actually something good for you to keep in mind if you're a parent.
Everyone has access to what they know in their heart. That wordless inner knowing is a source of truth. A meditation moment. I'm Jeremiah Trujillo. Many of you do not have courage. You know what's right, but you don't do it. You must come out of your trance and into God's light. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
By sitting quietly, getting your ego out of the way, then you're just sitting quietly, but somehow you know that he's there.
I love the story about the guy who was having all kinds of issues, and then finally one day he exclaimed, "God, I've found the problem, and it's me." And then God answered and said, "I have the answer, and it's me."
Love that story. Well, it's true. God is the answer. When you find God, all your problems are over. But in order to find God, you got to get out of thinking, out of worrying, out of being emotional, out of being angry and being resentful and all that stuff. And sit quietly, lift up your eyes, and silently cry out to God. So if you could just sit quietly, it would be so helpful. So maybe it'll work for you. Maybe it won't even seem to work for you. Maybe you'll just sit there quietly for a while, then nothing. All right, then just go about your life. But amazingly, from sitting quietly, God may begin to enter your life. And maybe he already has. Maybe the reason that you're interested in this program right now and you're searching for answers is because he's already wordlessly made you aware that you need to find the answer, which is him. But you, in the beginning, you won't know that it's him. You'll just know that when you stop hating people and stop resenting your husband and stop being irritated at people and stop always trying to get something, get your will and be willful, and always trying to manipulate every situation. See, as long as you, see, are angry with the world and judge everybody, then you're not going to find him. But if you can start to let that stuff go, then he's there. It's beautiful.
Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener supported. Thank you.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.